Skunt Podcast, Episode 4.
Welcome to Skunt News. The headlines. Clouds just massive sheep in sky, insists backward farmer. Scientists in two minds about schizophrenia. Incy Wincy spider dies as torrential downpour continues. And avian flu and swine flu battle it out in Britain's Got Flu. Those are the headlines. This Easter Ein News. Belgium and the Netherlands fell out yesterday over fishing quotas, and the argument quickly accelerated into aggression. War was inevitable, but the nations, in the name of reason, decided to battle it out online in a multiplayer first-person shooter on a server hosted by neighbouring Denmark on a virtual battlefield modelled on the Cambodian killing fields. Both teams logged on at around 5 a.m. this morning, and so far Belgium has captured several online Netherland territories, successfully battled the first boss level, and horrifically maimed the Prime Minister's avatar, while the Netherlands is still trying to solve untimely network connection problems. Somewhat undermining the peaceful notion of a digital war, players representing both countries are hooked up to special death seats, so that when their avatar counterparts die, so do they. We warmly welcome war into the digital age. As the threat of Mexican swine flu reaches newspaper headlines, several media outfits are coming down with a new strain of the virus known as media flu fever. Symptoms to look out for include panicked speculation, uncontrollable repetition of the word pandemic, arbitrary figures indicating death toll of Mexicans regardless of cause of demise, and pictures of anyone who may have once said the word swine. This new strain of media virus, dubbed OHNO or Oh No, is spreading fast, with no vaccine available to the general public, who come into unfortunate contact with the media every day. The Daily Mail was one of the first British papers to show severe symptoms of the virus, after their entire front page was devoted solely to condemning anyone who likes Mexican food. Some individuals have caught the flu from their local papers. The most worrying case being a man from London who became so disorientated that he began to blame Gordon Brown for the outbreak. The general public is being advised to avoid sneezing into newspapers, using them as rudimentary food vessels where ordinary plates are unavailable, or flying them as kites, as these actions will serve only to exacerbate a very serious problem indeed. ''36,000 gherkins have been refused entry into the United Kingdom, despite protecting the Queen in 1997. The gherkins apparently warned the Queen of a strong crosswind while she was driving her heavy goods vehicle on the M1. If not for the warning, it's thought that the lorry would have turned over, killing the Queen and her passenger, the reanimated corpse of Princess Diana, as well as spreading its load of mutilated swans across both lanes, wreaking havoc. Despite their obvious forethought and understanding of lorry driving in dangerous weather conditions, the government is refusing to allow them entry. One minister insisted that gherkins are a very, very violent pickled cucumber-related fruit, and that to allow them entry into this country would be loopy. We say that violent or not, they have served us a great debt. And if the national anthem has taught us anything, it is to respect people or pickled fruits who save our Queen. The long-standing face of Duracell's Energizer batteries, the Energizer Bunny, has admitted to having a severe cocaine addiction. His problem was discovered after he was found hiding in a hotel broom closet, snorting cocaine mixed with battery acid and vomiting copious amounts of blood into a copy of Beatrix Potter's Animals of Farthing Wood. On discovery, the rabbit immediately leapt to his feet and disappeared into the night. A Duracell company spokesman stated, "We had always suspected that our batteries weren't quite as good as he had implied." On hearing that the cash-strapped bunny had on occasion resorted to snorting Tesco's own brand of battery acid, the spokesman issued a stream of profanities before declaring, "This is the worst thing to happen to the Duracell company since the monkey-killing incident." This controversy has not dented the appeal of the bunny, however, and the Coca-Cola Corporation has expressed an interest in using him in upcoming adverts under the slogan, "I'm the Energizer Bunny, and I like Coke." The RSPCA has agreed to enter the Renegade Rabbit into one of its specialist rehab programs just as soon as someone can catch him. If it's hard being a policeman, it's even harder being a community support officer. Not only must you prevent crime, but you must do it completely unarmed and with an unequivocally bland job title. Well, that's all set to change. The words community and support were decided by marketing types to have no real power to demand submission, and therefore it was postulated that a more ominous and dystopian title is needed to empower the second tier of police into keeping the population even more frightened and pliable than it already is. A paper has been leaked advocating a name change for the quasi-cops, and a government spokesmule has confirmed that it is indeed a genuine document. Takes the form of a short list of proposed titles, one of which will be chosen next month and rolled out across the country before summer. The prospective titles include Descent Crusher, Armored Military Crowd Enforcer, Metal Juggernaut Riot Breaker, Vigilante Crime Judge, Violent Hate Soldier, Dresden Flamethrower, Compliant Citizen Society Member, Dissident Ignition Patrol, and Brutal Dispatch Squadron Member. But that will, of course, be Sir Brutal Dispatch Squadron Member to you. Now, as you were. A Muslim man revealed tonight that he had seen the face of the Islamic prophet Muhammad in a Danish pastry. One fundamental Islamic faction has issued a fatwa against the offending bakery product, while several others have called for the pastry to be beheaded. The bakery in Kent, where the product was made, has issued an apology, stating, "We just don't know how this happened. It might have been the butter, which is from Norwich." Norfolk Council has defended his butter, saying, "As far as we know, none of our dairy cows are religiously intolerant." Denmark's Prime Minister, on hearing the news, backed slowly away from a reporter, turned, and ran across the border into Germany. The Danish pastry has gone into hiding after Salman Rushdie offered it a sanctuary at an undisclosed location, at least until the fatwa has been revoked. Meanwhile, bakeries around the world are being looted, and any pastry that looks even vaguely Danish is being ruthlessly slaughtered. Skunt reporting on a sad day to be a pastry. The notion of currency is to be scrapped and replaced with an unworkable system of favours and promises. That was a government spokeshuman speaking last night in an attempt to tackle the threat of economic sadness. Although generally agreed that it is a terrible idea, it is the only option now available to the government in their bid to fix our nation's financial third-degree burns. The scheme will rely on honesty, goodwill, and faith. Advocates have pointed out that almost all world religions use this system, and they are more financially stable than any government. Dissident groups are arguing that replacing money with words is akin to replacing time with space, or Alistair Darling with a sad clown. Meanwhile, the price of bread has now skyrocketed up to three promises and a small to medium favour. Inflation never seemed so promising. Fashionable cattle market Primark has announced that all of its sweatshops will now have air conditioning installed to improve the work lives of its slaves. This news is a monumental relief for the toiling, boiling sweatshop joblings, as they now stand a slightly increased chance of surviving until the end of each working day. Primark's exemplary example is hoped to encourage poorer countries like America to stop rejecting bills outlawing the sale of sweatshop-produced merchandise. As Primark's spokesperson stated, clothes can still be funky and affordable, even though they aren't stained with the fingerprints of human suffering. Primark's new tactic has been greeted primarily with suspicion and general dismay. Tracy from Slough summed up the negative response: "If we are required to subsidize the cost of these air dispensers through increases in merchandise prices, I will literally shit." It is being insisted by Primark's PR spokesman that it's going to stop referring to these places as sweatshops and start calling them happy factories. Happy factories it is. Well, that's the news. We have some sport headlines for you. Lewis Hamilton and McLaren fight to the death. London Marathon donates proceeds to economy. Football match voided by Ofcom. New cricket rules to include extreme audience participation. And the Premiership, elaborate front for bizarre prostitution ring. We now hand over to Taisha with the latest entertainment stories.
The angry minority were offended today when foreign sunshine crossed the sandy borders of England and cast its eerie glow across much of the south. Proving once and for all that hate really is contagious, one Daily Mail reader was interviewed on his way into a newsagent's, beaming from ear to ear and exclaiming, "Lovely day, isn't it?" He walked out again only moments later, clutching the mail and screaming bizarre provincial threats about the crumbling state of the economy. The Mail were in the news only recently, being criticised for offering commemorative plates for free to anyone who is sufficiently white. Daily Mail editor Paul Goebbels Darkra responded at the time by saying, "It's easy to accuse someone of being racist, you know. In your case, Darkra, it really is." Vladimir Putin, Russia's answer to Barack Obama and an all-round good guy, has revealed that he will be representing Russia at the upcoming Eurovision Song Contest. Having composed the music, written the lyrics, and invented the instrument on which it will be played, Putin was considered the only real choice to represent the song at the annual Sound Contest. The song, titled simply X, has already reached the number one spot in Russia's pop, classical, R&B and dance music charts, and has been voted unanimously by the Russian government to replace the current national anthem, as well as all other music. On hearing the news, several other European leaders began penning their own tunes, including Angela Merkel's Bavarian Humanitarian and Scottish First Minister Alex Salmond's Ode to Hadrian. This year's contest looks set to be a real horror show. Chris Moyles has been sacked by the BBC today after a prank call involving eugenics and the National Socialist ideology went devastatingly wrong. Moyles is said to have phoned a selection of prominent Jews live on air, threatening to re-establish the Third Reich unless they either tell a joke or admit to their own inherent inferiority. Moyles denies being a racist, simply saying, "There is nothing racist about suggesting that everyone is not born equal. It is a central tenet to Nietzscheism." The British National Party agreed, adding that it's political madness gone correct. This sacking is the highest profile that the Beeb has made following Sackgate, when Russell Brand and Jonathan Ross had sex with an actor from Fawlty Towers in order to buy an answer machine for some sort of satanic slut. Or so the story goes. Moyles will obviously need to retrain as either a plumber or a theologian if he is to continue funding his own life, and we wish him well with whatever route he chooses to take. Goodbye, Uncle Chris. The Best of G20 Police Brutality compilation video has finally been released, and boy is it a good one. Some of the highlights include punching, pushing, striking, batoning, bludgeoning and beating. All action, all unprovoked. The video was released by the Independent Police Complaints Commission earlier today, and has already received universally stunning reviews from critics and struck a chord with many viewers. Whether it will be a hit at the box office, well, that just remains to be manslaughtered. A police state has never been so much fun. Madonna is buying up babies and selling them for profit on eBay. She has been accumulating babies, or stock, as she calls them, for some years now. Her profit margins are small, but then again, so is she. To this end, she requires very little water and almost no food, rendering her survival costs minimal. She forces the children to put on bizarre vaudevillian performances while she sits, eating and regurgitating the same grape for hours on end. Baby slavery is obviously illegal, and it is hoped that she will be hunted down and caged before it is too late. Madonna, the villain of a generation. Mind Lord Darren Brown is in trouble tonight after one of his stunts went terribly, terribly wrong. Brown made a volunteer from his audience, seemingly completely invisible, but soon admitted he had no idea how to make her visible again. Technically, Brown explained to Scunt, she isn't actually invisible. I've just manipulated our collective consciousness into not wanting to see her, so we don't. He added that he was sorry, but the woman had signed a release form, so he wasn't legally obliged to do anything about the situation. Meanwhile, the woman's whereabouts are obviously unknown. It is believed she might be completely devastated by events, or totally unaware of the chaos she's caused, or already dead. It's a perfect example of the Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics, exclaimed one excited professor of science land, to which Scunt replies, no, it's not. It's news. Susan Boyle, the middle-aged woman from Britain's Got Talent that recently set the internet alight, was arrested by police earlier today. It has emerged that she suffered a breakdown some years earlier and has placated her demons by resolving to hunt down and shoot Piers de Alcuin Morgan. This she did. The video footage of her performance on the show, which has been uploaded to YouTube, cuts away a split second before a calm Boyle pulls a gun and puts one solitary bullet into the second heart of Piers. We will miss you, Morgan, even if you turn out not to be dead.
Thank you, Taisha. Well, that's all we have time for this week. But even if we did have more time, we wouldn't be able to fill it because we have just told you all the news. Our sponsors this week are the German wing of soft drinks manufacturer Dr. Pepper, and we are contractually obliged to now play their jingle.
Dr. Pfeffer, was ist das Schlechteste, das kommt denn?
Dr. Pfeffer, ist dies dein guter Schach?
Oh, well, this is Skunt saying good night. And if you can't be safe, then at the very least, be news.
Thank you, Skunt News. In the review corner this week, the London Marathon. For a special feature-length three-hour pilot episode, London Marathon promised so much but delivered so little. Much hyped on several of the BBC's channels, I was expecting London Marathon to be the BBC's answer to such critical American shows as Lost, or 24. It obviously draws a lot of its inspiration from American TV, as the characters are briefly introduced before they are thrown into a confusing and often distressing melange of genres and shooting styles. As of 24, the show is filmed in real time, set amidst the lurid backdrop of London. However, in its attempt to convey a London for film, it feels as if the BBC were catering mainly for an overseas audience, because instead of seeing the real London, we were force-fed some of the more touristy attractions. The initial characters are way too varied and numerous to mention any standout personalities yet. A few were singled out and introduced to us through interviews, where we learned a little about their backstories, which is a refreshing change from the constant flashbacks and flash-forwards we've endured during Lost. Unfortunately, the backstories were rather superficial, concentrating only on the motivation for joining the race and what they hope to achieve from it. How the producers intend on a continuation of the story, I am as yet unaware. With the race over, where does it go? Fortunately, it's not all doom and gloom. The story is for the most part promising, so I especially enjoy the nod to the classics, and every so often the action would transfer to commentators in their booth where they would direct the action and choose who and where the action would focus on. A subtle nod to the Harryhausen film Clash of the Titans, where the gods sit on Olympus playing games with Perseus. One thing I'm still undecided on is whether the innumerable celebrity cameos ranging from unusual soap stars, celebrity chefs and models is an important part of the storyline or just a shameless audience-grabbing gimmick, as they were given as much airtime as the actual actors themselves, although the majority of the cast is made up of nobodies. I would imagine that this is mainly due to budgetary requirements, partially funded by the BBC and from some extremely unsuitable product placement from a leechable spread company, partly to pay for the celebrity co-stars, but also the CGI effects used to great lengths in the artificial crowds lining the streets of London. Overall, I'm intrigued to see where this is going. With the race completed, what happens next? Which characters will return and which will be dropped? What hidden stories and events are yet to be revealed? Only time will tell. But with the rumours of a Great Wall Marathon, Rio de Janeiro Marathon, and even a possible Christmas special with a Santa Claus Marathon, it would appear that the show has high hopes for the future. Thank you for joining us in Review Corner. Next week, who knows?
You have been listening to a Skunt podcast, brought to you by Skunt Industries.